Hello and welcome to Crafty Hands Club podcast. I am your host, Carice Jefferson. This podcast talks candidly about all things jewelry making, including tips, techniques, trends, the latest industry news, traditions, self-care, and more. If you're listening for the first time, please subscribe to receive latest episode alerts. Crafty Hands Club can also be found on various social media platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, and YouTube. Feel free to like, follow, or subscribe at any time. This is Season 3 Podcast, and today's episode, I want to talk about hobbies on a budget. Now, it's not the typical list and explanation of hobbies that you can do on a shoestring budget, but this podcast episode is more of a response to a social media post that took place not too long ago. So for listeners who might not know that January is National Hobby Month, which is just an added bonus to today's episode as well. So, a young lady by the name of Kasia, hopefully I'm pronouncing her name correctly, and I reached out to her to be a guest on this podcast episode, and I never heard anything back from her. But I want to share a Twitter post that she posted somewhere like the last part of December 2019, and it got shared multiple times on different platforms. Actually, it was shared with me on Facebook, a couple people, because they know that Crafty Hands Club is all about hobbies and stress relief. But let me read her post. She said, "I feel like my generation lost hobbies. Everything doesn't have to be a hustle, side hustle, or money-making enterprise. Sometimes it is just fun to do something because it brings you peace, joy, relaxation, or allows you to be creative. Let's rediscover our hobbies in 2020. That's what she said. And as with any social media post that goes viral or gets shared multiple times, there's going to be an amount of engagement, which is why it's getting shared. And of course, not all of it is going to be nice. Matter of fact, there were a vast amount of responses received, and it was mostly negative, but there were some positive comments as well. And I myself had commented on the post, not directly with the young lady, but when it was shared the first time. And here's some of the reasons why people are choosing work over having a hobby. And this is not all that was posted. Some said, hey, the cost of living is high, I can't afford it. We have high student loan debt. Don't no one have time to do a hobby. Hobbies are only suitable for older generations. A hobby is a first world white privilege thing. It's too expensive to have a hobby. And another response was, the previous generations are the reason why we cannot have a hobby, because we got to work all the time. Now, there are plenty of craft-related groups on Facebook. When you hashtag in Instagram, there's plenty of DIY enthusiasts. When you go on Pinterest, there are many pin boards. even on TikTok, that's geared towards the Gen Z generation, you see people making. So there's a lot of craft related groups out here, and that's anywhere from event decorators to card making, sewing, cake decorating, furniture upcycle, and many more. But after sifting through the comments to this particular post, there were two things that came from that. First, there's a misunderstanding of a hobby, and then there's a misconception about a hobby in terms of time and finances. And one way to eliminate that limited belief is to have a budget for the hobby of your choosing. Now, I don't want to sound like a financial literacy enthusiast, but there are many times where I have said the same thing in the past. I can't afford that. But when you prepare your monthly budget, telling your money where to go instead of buying on impulse, you'll be surprised at how much money you could potentially save. A lot of expenses that we have, whether it's weekly or monthly, we can do without. Now, I'm not talking about your necessities, because you need food, shelter, transportation, utilities, and clothing. Those are basic needs. But I'm talking about stuff like daily trips to Starbucks, the gym membership that's more of a monthly donation. And I'll be transparent here. It don't take a lot of money to start a hobby, depending on what you choose. However, it does take money to sustain them. But that's the same as with anything. If you love to cook, yeah, you can find grocery items on the cheap. But then as you get more and more to it, you're going to invest in cooking utensils, certain pots and pans. You may invest in a stove, or whatever it is. Some go to a cooking show, go to an expo, buy a cookbook. You're going to have to make an investment some kind of way. So take jewelry making, for instance. You don't even have to go to a craft store to buy beads. You can get beads at an estate sale. People go to thrift stores, get old necklaces, bracelets, whatever. Sometimes they have bags of beads. There's buy, trade, and swap groups on social media. Or you could take your old jewelry that you haven't worn in years and make yourself a new wearable. Now, in the first season of the Crafty Hands Club podcast, there was an episode where I mentioned that one way to keep from overspending is to do craft projects that require the least amount of materials. So let's say that you've budgeted somewhere between $10 to $20 for hobby supplies. Now that you have allocated that money, you have money set aside for that. You may not get everything for that particular hobby right then and there. It might be buying one or two items, but at least you got the ball rolling. Or you may luck up and catch a sale, and they, got the things that you need, and you could get started. Then you decide what project you want to do that falls within the budget. That's if nothing's on sale or whatever. Then you browse for those supplies, see if it's any special offers, see if there's a sale. And if you don't feel like purchasing materials a la carte, you can always buy a kit. That way you have everything that you need right then and there, plus instructions, without having to go through three or four steps to get to a project. Now, a hobby may not always give you monetary gain right away, but you do gain things that are worth more than currency. And some of those are, first of all, you're getting a new skill that you can apply somewhere else. That hobby can be passed down to generations to come. Look at family recipes. The recipe started with someone, and they might have told, their daughter or their sister or their niece or their granddaughter, hey, this is what goes into this dish. That's my signature dish. And that person has the recipe, so that way when the person is no longer here, the recipe is still there. Look at collections. There's plenty of art collections, book collections, whatever, all types of collections out here. Those things are passed down to generations. Wealthy people include them in the will and allocate it to someone who they feel will be the most responsible for it when they are no longer here. An example, one of my cousins growing up, one of my fondest memories of her, she was a diehard, bona fide Prince fan. I was a Prince fan too, so I understood it, but she was much older than I was, and she had a whole, her entire bedroom was Prince. I'm talking light purple walls, posters, book covers, pens, pencils, pillowcases, albums, clipped out magazine articles, just all types of prints. And then in 1996, she passed away. And the sad thing about all of that she had of prints, it was gone. It was just gone. Instead of her having, her collector set, because she had some odd and unique things that most people didn't have. So that's an example of being able to pass things on to people who are left behind you, or what it looks like when you don't do that. And then a hobby is also a creative outlet to help you reduce stress. Here in the United States, not too long ago, soldiers had to go over to the Middle East for war. So imagine that amount of stress. But imagine not just for the soldiers, but the families, the parents that are home, or the sisters, the cousins that are there, not knowing if their relative is going to return back the same way they left, because not everyone dies in war, but there's, after war stress. And I'm a veteran wife, and my husband has shared some stories about psychological impacts on, soldiers that have came home. There was one person that really flipped out when he came back home and the house was redecorated and it wasn't anything like he remembered. That is a huge amount of stress that he carried, and it just came out in an extreme measure. Also, now, we live in a time where people just go to faith-based organizations, go in schools, go in shopping malls, any public place, and just start shooting people at random. So, the people who've witnessed that are stressed, the family members are stressed, whether, their loved ones made it or didn't make it. People that work at the facilities are stressed. Just imagine, like, school, right? A few years ago, the whole thing in Connecticut with the kindergarten children. I know that had to be a very, very, very stressful point in time on the teachers, the administrative staff. First of all, having to explain that to a 5-year-old is a lot on a parent and on just on any adult, because 5 years old shouldn't have to worry about, am I gonna get shot today? That's just not the way to live. So when you have hobbies, you can channel that energy, and that helps relieve stress. So what about time constraints? Well, a hobby doesn't have to take hours to complete. You could choose a hobby that takes no more than 1 hour of your time. And you don't even have to spend that whole hour in a single day. You could break it up over 2 days or 3 days, whatever time that you have. And there's been plenty of times where I've taken tools and materials to work with me and completed within 30 minutes of my lunch break. So out of that hour that I have, I made a wearable art and I still had time to enjoy my lunch. Doing a hobby during your lunch break does come in handy, especially if you work long hours or if you work more than one job, because in this day and age, there's a lot. You will be surprised at the amount of people that work two jobs. Some people work three jobs, two full times, a part time, or whatever employee type they are. They're working three jobs, and that has kind of became the norm in some of these cities, especially cities where resources aren't there and the jobs don't pay that much. And they have to take on additional work just to make ends meet. So while you got time away from your work duties, you have a chance to, step away from your work, engage in a fun activity, and make yourself a tangible item. Now, if you only got 30 minutes of lunch, because I've worked in the setting where lunch was only 30 minutes. It's not that goes by quick. I'm just going to be honest, that can go by so quickly. But other ways that you can get in a project is, during your commute ride. If you take a Uber or Lyft to work and the ride is somewhere between 30, 45 minutes, most of the times it's at least, especially if it's during rush hour, it's at least 40 minutes. You can work on a hobby. And again, you can break it up, do a little bit in your ride, do a little bit on your commute home, maybe get 5 to 10 minutes in on your lunch. So here's just a few budget-friendly hobbies that you can get started. Hand sewing, adult coloring, cooking, writing, drawing, photography. And with photography, you don't even have to start off in the expensive camera. You can start using your own phone and learn editing software and how to work with crop photos and manipulate photos. And reading. You can do this by going to used bookstores, go to the library where it's free to check out. You can get audiobooks. If you're not the type to go page to page, audiobooks help. You can download books in PDF form, or if you have a Kindle, you can read books on there as well. So, if you want to know more about the benefits of a hobby and why you should have one, please go back and listen to the episode in season one of Crafty Hands Club podcast. And also, there's going to be a link in the description of this episode that you can click on to go back to listen to that as well. If you have any questions, feel free to send an email to info@craftyhandsclub.com. Again, that's info@craftyhandsclub.com. Thank you for tuning in to the podcast and listening. Hope that you receive great information that you can apply, and tune in next week. To learn more about Crafty Hands Club, please visit our website, www.craftyhandsclub.com. Thank you for listening to the Crafty Hands Club podcast. Come back and join us next week.